my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
You move to devaluation?
No!
Do you know that?
I think that I don't care how quickly I move to devaluation.
Whether you care about it or not, I just
am I aware that sometimes
aware
I move quickly to devaluation?
If you're aware.
All right. What's going on, y'all? Hope y'all doing well, man. You know, that's hope y'all doing well. I will be honest with you. This is this is my second time making this video. I just did it the first time and I realized the audio did not capture. So this is fun. This is why we're learning in real time. So if y'all don't know who I am, who am I? No, I'm kidding. I'm Rashad Young, man. I'm from St. Louis, 30 years old. I am currently a counselor in training, which means I am not a fully licensed therapist yet. There's several steps I still got to take. But in the process, I'm seeing clients, stuff like that. Internship will be done, my program, in December, thank God. And then we'll look into the doctoral side. But, you know, I think for me, one of my passions that I've learned in my process is really working with marriage and families and relationships and stuff like that. And so I had an idea. I guess I've been sitting on this for a while. I know I'm not the first one to do this. I'm not like a champion on this, but I have really enjoyed those who have made, you know, conversations around relationships and various topics. I'm also a believer that one of the gifts that we can do as people is to provide perspective and education in a sense. And so I wanted to take a different route. Instead of giving you a 60-second clip on my thoughts on certain videos, maybe provide a more full detailed breakdown on certain things and conversations and stuff like that. So that's the point of this. I guess it'll be kind of connected to my pod. If you don't know about my pod, knowing is knowing, it's the name of my podcast. And so this will probably be like an intersection of that. It'll probably be knowing is knowing, but it probably be like titled like The Healing. Cause again, I want to really focus on, I just want to focus on building more of a understanding narrative on relationships and how we can better ourselves as people, and also learn some different things about, you know, different situations that we see and experience. I think one of the beauties I've had in what I do, and I'm sure other clinicians can say the same thing, is, you know, when you are able to be the neutral party in certain situations, you're able to kind of see your own life in a way, in a sense. And so not at all am I perfect. I have probably been in one of these examples of videos as we go along this journey and process. And again, my goal now is, because I know better, so I do better. But two is to provide a neutral, non-biased opinion on certain videos and takes and things that I'll see. Not at all my opinions meant to be the final say. It's not. It's just an opinion. It's just to try to add a more therapeutic example or perspective, as if I was the person involved, if I was Dr. Owen's video, and to help them navigate. Some videos will have no context. Some of these videos I'll be watching kind of in real time as you guys are providing my thoughts. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think my goal is now is to find ways to continue to educate and also help myself become a better future clinician. So, you know, hopefully these videos get out there to, you know, the actual licensed folks and, you know, those in the higher spaces to provide a perspective. I just think that it's a space that, you know, I can just help me sharpen up my skills, but also, again, provide dialogue in the conversations. I think they're important. And again, in today's time of relationships, I will be honest with you. I've been candid. I've said it in previous videos before. I am a true believer that, you know, relationships are taking a downhill turn. I know statistically it can show differently right now. I know a lot of people are still getting married. I think about the next 50, 60 to 100 years of what that may look like. And with the argument, with the implementation of AI and stuff like that, I don't know what that would look like. I'll be honest with you, I could see it happening less because of, you know, the separation and connection with people. You know, relationships are They're very daunting. As beautiful as they are, it requires a lot of work. I don't think a lot of people want to admit that. It's not just about yourself. You really got to die to yourself. You got to die to your ego, especially in a situation like a marriage. And I also say that the biggest point of all this is, you know, the biggest point of relationships is service, you know. And I think that's the biggest way that, you know, marriages and stuff stay afloat, is like the ability to serve is the most important thing. And I think once you stop doing that, is the reason why we kind of get these situations like this. So this video, because this is my second time doing it, it's two videos. It's about 3 minutes long. I'll be pausing in between. And it's pretty much a full breakdown of two different situations. And my goal is to kind of pause, talk about some breakdowns that I'm seeing. Again, don't know the full context of their whole situation because these are just clips. But again, provide a therapeutic thing that I think is important. Again, a disclaimer. I am a counselor in training, so there's nobody come after me. You know what I'm saying? I just tell you what it is. But let's get to it. Let's see what we can do.
Of how quickly you move to devaluation. Do you know that?
I think that I don't care how quickly I move to devaluation.
Whether you care about it or not, I just...
All right, we're going to pause it right there. You're going to start early. So... I think at this point in the clip, I don't know much of the backstory behind it, but no, I don't want to take a break right now. The whole point of the clip, pretty much is essentially talking about opening up and emotions and stuff like that. But something that a lot of people typically do in situations, especially in therapeutic situations, is that there is a de-evaluating aspect where you are essentially trying to downplay it or talk it down, essentially, another thing that's relatively big is, you know, I think it's more common in men or, you know, anybody who got a, I would say, avoidant or dismissive attachment style, is not really understanding the importance of somebody else expressing their emotions and really trying to downplay it. So this is where you kind of see the angles of like gaslighting and saying, oh, you know, they're tripping. You know what you're talking about. It's not that deep. And so for somebody who has been on the receiving end and also been on the giving end of doing that, which I can admit, you should never do that. You should never invalidate anybody's emotions, because at that present moment, which I think I've had to learn, that was the hardest thing I had to learn, was really understanding that a lot of emotions that are being expressed are present thinking. Now, however, it can be stuff that's been sitting up and brewing for weeks and months, and I'll talk about micro cuts in a second and why I think that's harmful to relationships. But when the moment that you de-evaluate or try to overly logic situations, again, I have been the king of that. You will find yourself missing the point in these situations. And especially when it comes to like arguments and stuff, usually when two people are getting into arguments and it gets very emotional, people tend to not really understand where is it going, because two people are in two different spaces. One person's usually in a more emotional space, and the other person typically is downplaying it. Or on the other end too, the other person is just as emotional, but downplaying the significance of how it was presented. You know, that's how usually arguments start. A problem is presented, the other person did not maybe potentially receive it well, or they responded the same way how it was presented to them. And then that's how everything goes left. Because what do we know about emotions? Although they're temporary. And what do we know about human beings? We are naturally selfish at heart, especially with things of what we feel, especially what we feel strongly about. So that's kind of the first part of this part of the situation. It's not part of this part, but part of this video is him having an inability to kind of accept what was being presented, and he's downplaying it, but you'll see a change in a second.
Am I aware that sometimes I move quickly to devaluation? Yes.
But I'm also noticing how difficult it is to actually meet you. I notice even in the way I'm talking to you that it's very hard to get it right.
I'm gonna skip a couple times. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you. Now, this is something that I think is also very common in men. Again, I'm gonna try to keep this neutral. I'm gonna try to keep this open and honest. I'm gonna keep it real. I'm gonna keep it P. We, as men, do that a lot. We can fail to be receptive to what somebody is saying to us, and we will naturally become defensive because of our egos. Now, we can take a bigger picture, so y'all don't come for me, guys. I'm still tied in. I get it. I'm a guy, but we got to keep it honest if we're going to really build that healthy balance. Receptivity is one of the hardest things a lot of people experience in relationships. A lot of it is when we grow up, we may have not been shown the proper way to love, or you have not been shown to receive love from an emotional sense. And so that's what kind of makes men and women universally different. However, when you have an inability to be receptive and you're automatically clashing with offensiveness, you are undermining somebody, whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously. And again, that's how more problems do become a thing. And somebody like him, which I feel like I used to be like, I used to be like, at this point, all right, you got me at this point. Now you're going to have to come with facts. And my stance ain't changing. I'm standing on 10 toes how I'm going to be. And that's just what it is. However, this is very unhealthy. I know it's a defense mechanism. It often leads to you not being receptive to what's being said. And again, at this point, you're going to try to prove your point on staying so strong in this position that you have to be right versus being receptive to what's being said to, again, work on a problem together. Let's continue.
When I try to say back to you what's going on, what I just heard, it's never right. And when you correct me, I can see why you're correcting me. I understand the nuance and where I missed the point.
That's very frustrating.
Pause that real quick. I'm not going to keep doing that. But another thing, because again, that's another thing that was mentioned. God, I can't talk. Another thing that was mentioned. Again, when you have the stance and when you have to feel like you're right, again, that is very toxic. Because, you know, at the end of the day, when two people are in a space of conflict, it's not necessarily about who's right and who's wrong. It's about what is the problem and how do we find a solution and also do it in a way that is respectful and understanding. Again, I can be candid with self, something I very much used to struggle with. I feel like that I had to always be right. You were talking crazy. And, you know, yeah, you can use the angles of gaslighting, whatever. I don't ever think I went to the extreme. Maybe I could have in the past in certain situations, but I very much had a strong desire to feel right. If I did not feel right, then my ego would take a hit, and that's how all these things happen. So, yeah, while it's frustrating to have to feel right when it comes to, like, relationship conflicts, though, it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's more about being understood, valued, and respected. Let's keep going.
For me.
What yes, I want to hear is why is the moment where someone is not just right, mm-hmm. not just right, why is that so devastating?
That's, I don't know, that's devastating. I think it's...
See, you did it just then. Right. Devastating.
See what I mean? Like, it, you know, he's going to say something in a second where it's going to make more sense. But again, when you have this strong desire of wanting to feel right, it is almost performative where that person has to pretty much attest themselves to or compete to a certain level that continuously keeps moving. And one thing you should never do in a relationship, if you can, in its truest capacity, is always find a way to move the goalposts with the person that you're with, because that creates an everlasting problem. What do we know about people? Nobody's perfect. And what do we want people to give us? Grace. So we have to give people grace as well. Now, there's a distinctive difference real quick. There's a difference between extending grace at that period of time and tolerating it. It's two different things, right? So again, it depends on your values, your systems, and what's important to you. But at the natural sense, people tend to make mistakes. And guess what, guys? They will always make mistakes, you know? I don't care if you're with somebody for 20 years or 25 years or 40 years or 2 years, there should never be an expectation that that person is going to do something right every single time. Now, again, there's a difference between giving grace because of just genuine mistakes and tolerating something. Because, again, if somebody's doing something intentionally after a period of time that's not in alignment to what your values are and what's important to you, then that's when you need to make a decision on when you need to either move forward with that situation or let it go. Because that's the difference, right? Again, people will make mistakes. And does not mean you have to stay in that space in the sake of love. I don't think that's healthy.
It's not quite the right word. And you're going to correct your devastating, and you can't see that devastating might have, like,
well,
you know,
it is simply not devastating. That is not a proper use of that word in any of the word. I mean, unless you're being hyperbolic, and I don't know what the point of that would be. If the point was clear.
I wasn't being hyperbolic. I'm actually assuming that in some way.
How about being inconvenient?
No, I don't think it's inconvenient. I think there's a much more emotional underlying structure to this.
Okay.
And I would agree. So usually people who downplay emotions, they're just as emotional as a person that is emotional, right? So I think something that often drives me crazy when I hear people talk about it is like, I hate a nonchalant person. I guarantee you that that person cares. 9 times out of 10, they either have learned that behavior due to consistent disappointment or not being emotionally validated in their experience, or it is just a defense mechanism because of their experience, right? So we have to understand that emotions look different for everybody, and just because you do something one way does not mean that that person cares less than. Like, I think we take a lot of external and outward expressions to determine something. However, that is not how you should go about that, because that's not realistic. So keep that in mind. And he's going to say something really quick. She's going to say something to him really quick. I think it's really, really important to mention.
But how can we quickly determine whether that's true or not?
You can ask yourself if you want to take something of what I'm saying to see if it's useful to you, or if you want to spar with me. If you don't want to spar with me, we don't have to discuss the accuracy. We just have to see if it's useful, what I'm saying, whether it's accurate or not.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know that I've ever been devastated in any prior event when that occurred, including my birthday. I didn't feel devastated.
You said disappointed.
See, that's what I mean. Sometimes we say things that we don't necessarily correlate to the actual value of what we're feeling. So somebody could say disappointment, and then they could be downplaying it, like, oh, it's all right. Like, they'll shrug their shoulders. So, like, that's something, again, to keep in mind. Like, when people express things, I'm a firm believer 9 times out of 10 that there is always a deeper piece to it. Obviously, that's my own default. I know everything isn't deep, but everything is deep to me. Second thing, though, that, you know, is really important is that when we are engaging in conversations with people that we're with, especially, I think it is very important, if you feel safe in a space where you feel safe emotionally, that you are as candid to what you feel with that situation. Because to express disappointment and to downplay it in this moment, again, while it appears as a learned behavior, it does not allow his partner to be receptive fully to understand how to maybe work that problem. Because that's all she heard from him is like disappointment. But maybe his outwardly actions did not show that level of disappointment in a way where, you know, it appeared as an urgent situation. And guys do that really well, right? We always say that, oh, we're cool, we're fine, everything's cool, we're fine. But, you know, there's always more to that, man. Like, we gotta be more receptive and expressive to when things are bothering us. It doesn't make us weak if something bothers you to its full extent. Again, the biggest thing that we have to be with our partners, both men and women, is emotionally honest and emotionally expressive. And also the ability to be receptive. You don't give your partner a chance to be receptive, you're not giving them a chance to really understand you. Now, after a period of time, if there's moments where you don't feel like that this is happening, again, it comes with continuous conversations. Again, grace and tolerance. Those things are important. But half the time when people become resentful, it's because they haven't fully expressed things that are bothering to its truest form. And it's because they're trying to be protective of somebody else. And that's not always the right thing to do.
I was disappointed.
Okay, so go with that.
There.
Be honest.
She's kind of hammering me about, why do you need to go to this funeral?
All right, so I'm going to give a real quick overview on this one. So pretty much, I've seen that video. That was probably the reason why I got interested in this show, per se. I would say that with this video, it appears he's a workaholic, and she feels like he doesn't see her and value her in a way that he once did due to work. It's like, work is his reasoning for everything. And workaholics and relationships can be a very complex thing for a couple of reasons, right? So when we think about people who are, you know, providers in the space, I often like to express this, okay? That if you want somebody to fully provide a certain way of living, they most likely would not be as physically present as you would like, especially if they're in a state of building still. Right, I think sometimes we look at things from an extreme sense because we think of like athletes and entertainers, and they have more of a substantial front load of money while they're actively playing. But on the back end, that lifestyle can look a lot different. So unless you are in that one top 1%, you will be relatively absent, I would say, until you're at a point of comfortability where you can provide that lifestyle. Now, granted, you know, some people also work a lot as their own default because they don't want to deal with their own emotional problems. That's also something that's also very, very big in relationships, especially like when people aren't seen eye to eye. They'll take on more shifts. They'll work more because they want to do everything they can to be away from their partner at home or et cetera. So like there's different points to this. And I don't know their full concept of the relationship. Again, this is a 3-minute video, but it is something to remember because we don't often talk about this. And I think we overdramatize what it means to truly provide for things without really understanding the context what that means. For somebody to provide means they have to utilize their time to gain more resources, access money, etc. Nothing wrong with being a provider. And, you know, that's the lifestyle you want to live. But also know that oftentimes it's going to come with somebody being a workaholic.
What's the big deal? And then she says, I asked you to do something for me. You couldn't do it, but you're going to go to a stranger's funeral.
So the reason why that was an issue in this clip is that, again, she feels she doesn't feel seen by him. And then also she doesn't fully understand the context of the relationship. And so she's going to say something very telling in a second why this is going to make more sense. But she doesn't feel seen by him. And she, the moment that he has time to do something, he prioritizes the funeral. And again, that's an extreme. And it's a very important extreme, right? You're paying your respects to somebody. However, she had a problem with him because of something else that she will express in a second. Just for context.
I said, what's upsetting you? What exactly mm-hmm. are you angry at? That's mm-hmm. not that.
Yeah.
Not that
for
me.
Yeah.
If you're mad at me because I'm going to this thing, why? Why does that bother you so much? Mm-hmm. You don't even know this person.
See how she's shaking her head?
I'm like, I actually do. She works for me. You know, I'm doing something that involves anyone else.
It's more so too. Now,
how dare I kind of thing, you know? Like,
I'm getting mad.
Which I appreciate that she did that in that session. She owned it. She owned that she was getting mad. And if you are a counselor and trainer, you know what I'm saying? Again, counselor and trainer, not a licensed clinician yet. But we pay attention to body language and cues, especially in-person sessions. Immediately, somebody shakes their head. Especially in a no sense, they're not agreeing with the situation. And sometimes it's a way to try to calm themselves down. But I am glad that she owned the fact that she was being upset in that moment to acknowledge the fact that what she may say next is coming from a place of being mad. So kudos to her.
By this. Because I cannot get him to wake up before 8 o'clock or before 10 o'clock on a Saturday or a Sunday. But you're going to go to this person's sister's funeral? Why?
If you're hearing this from a natural eye, you would think that she's being inherently selfish. But she said something that's very, very important. Again, I didn't say this in the beginning, but any relationship that goes through a long period of time, when you get these type of emotional reactions, number one, outside of the Gottman's theory of the four horsemen, which is contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling, I'm trying to think of the fourth one, contempt, which is, you know, being okay with things and, you know, not really progressing, moving forward. It took way too long. I got to continue to study. All right. So in this situation, though, again, she mentioned something that has been bothering her for a long period of time. And I've seen their videos in the past, so she's expressed this before. So this isn't nothing new. Again, she does not feel valued by him when it comes to the time that he has away from work. He will prioritize other things. She just says something that he does not wake up early on Saturdays for her. But he will do that for a funeral. And again, at the core, because of the extreme, it makes sense. It makes complete sense. Why somebody would do that, because it's a funeral, you're paying your respects, etc., especially if you know the person's connection, whatever. It's a funeral, it's an extreme. So the natural eye somebody's like, oh, that's selfish. But I'm also a firm believer that a lot of people in relationships, especially in workforces, sometimes I don't think partners always know the significance of the people that, you know, their partner's meeting. And I think one of the things you have to be open with, you have to be expressive with, is when people are coming into your life, whether it's a colleague or a new friend or whatever, and your partner should be made aware of them and understand the significance of that person. Because one, you should always be open and honest with your partner when it comes to that, right? So that should never be a surprise, right? So she could have been caught off guard solely because of, oh, hey, I'm going to this funeral on Saturday. Well, who's the guy? Or who's the woman, right? And again, her mind isn't thinking about the extreme. She's like, oh, you're going to this funeral on Saturday, and yet I can't get time with you on Saturday, right? Again, it goes back to those microcuts. Imagine the amount of times he has pushed her off from work, etc. I think they got kids too in the background of the story. But that type of stuff matters. This is why we get these type of emotions. It's almost done. Almost done, guys. I'm trying to get to 30 minutes.
A lot of people die in his, people's mothers, sisters, cousins, brothers, uncles die at his job. So I need to know who this person is, what the importance of this person is that made you get up.
See? Exactly. She had, at that moment how it was expressed, she did not have an understanding to who she was, what she does, the significance of that, etc. And again, we're looking at this from a married person's perspective, or even a relationship, long-term relationship. You already don't do these things for me, but you're doing it for somebody else. Again, relationships are about service, about give and take. If you have an inability to do something or an active choice to not do something for me, and you're doing it for somebody else, there has to be something wrong, right? That could be the natural eye of things that are being thought about and considered in that moment because of that, right? And that matters. These things matter. So what am I getting at with all this, right? I just said a lot. Try to get done in 30 minutes, okay? 30 minutes. 30 minutes top. It's always important to validate what people say, right? I'm always going to be candid, and I always keep it real with my clients, et cetera, right? The hardest thing that we can do as people is accept accountability and to be honest and to be understanding and to really hear what the person's saying. Because we just sometimes take how it's said. And again, champion of that, they could have crowned me for real. Because I used to immediately, you said something to me, I didn't care how you said it, I got defensive. It's not cool. Because again, people should be able to come to you about things if it's important to them. Because if people bring up something to you, they're telling you it because it's important, right? We don't often want to take that into consideration. And I had, you know, and I've had to learn that both ways. Again, on the receiving end and the giving end. The moment I stop talking about something, I am completely checked out. I don't want to talk about it no more. Maybe it's not important to me no more because I've learned after a while the consistent actions of something is not in alignment to what I say and how I feel. I've also been on the giving end. Somebody has shared something to me. I've been defensive. I immediately shut them up. I cut them down. I become defensive, stonewall, etc. And everything else, eventually they stop talking. The relationship's over with. And you wonder what happened. Think about all the actions that you've done in all that. All that stuff matters, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that stuff matters. Communication and connections in the details. We often lose our attention to the small details. It is a job. Relationships are a job. I will forever stand on that. Right? So how do we become better? We acknowledge our faults. We validate feelings. We openly express things and people that come into our life to our partners so they understand. And we also still find ways to prioritize them. I will forever stand on this, although people who are working hard to make things happen. If you're in a relationship with somebody, you have made an active choice to make that commitment to them, and their values and things that are important to them matter. You have to always constantly find ways to water it because that matters. The moment you stop trying to water a relationship, you might as well throw it away. You know what I'm saying? Like, that type of stuff matters. These things matter. And so I always say this is on both sides, on the spectrum. Everybody has to do it. You're not bigger than the program. One side's not more important than the other. One person's happiness is not more important than the other. How you show up for each other matters. Everything isn't about financial gain or financial moments or trips or vacations. Are we giving people the basic needs and necessities that we can offer them so it can be a sustaining and fulfilling relationship? We have to ask ourselves these questions all the time. So that's all I got, man. Appreciate y'all. You know, we're going to keep this going. We're going to figure out what it's going to be. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. But I am a counselor in training. Okay. All right. I'll make that clear. As a counselor in training, this is something that I am passionate about, and I'm always looking forward to the Discord of other clinicians. So please, if you watch this and you have thoughts and opinions, I would love to hear it. I just always want to continuously get better. And again, these moments, you always learn about what you can do better in your own life as well. So I'm very appreciative of what Dr. Owa has done and what Showtime has done with the show. I think it does bring a life to the realness of relationships. Everything isn't always peachy. So it's really find a way to navigate that. And again, I just like to talk about this stuff. I'm passionate about it. So I appreciate y'all. And yeah, make sure to subscribe, man. Subscribe to this. You know, follow me on TikTok, you know what I'm saying? Instagram, my name, everything is Rashad Young. And again, I want to build a healthy world one day at a time. Appreciate you guys. See y'all soon. Peace.